Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, weekend-long big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, plus a boutique where you can shop till you drop. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website and act fast because rooms sell out quickly. There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroups webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo
at Serenity Sunday 2023
or through PayPal, serenitysunday1212@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
My name is Bobby. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Bobby.
I'm looking at everyone here live in love, and then on the screen. Okay, I'll do my best. To qualify, I have been coming to Overeaters Anonymous for 50 years, but it took me a year to get abstinence. So September 2nd, through God's grace, I celebrated 49 years of abstaining from compulsive overeating, one day at a time, It does seem like a long time, because it is a long time. But the reality is, I always like to say, it's really one day at a time. I mean, 49 years has added up because it's one day at a time. And it's just mind blowing to myself when I say that. I'm the old timer, I'm the long time person. And it's like, holy moly. But the gift is, as I said to Len and John before the meeting, I have been given the gift of willingness to keep coming back one day at a time. I'm gonna tell you what it was, what I was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Because when before I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I was the kind of person that didn't really want to work for anything. I wanted everything to go my way. And when it didn't, which was most of the time, I ate. I started eating at a very young age. I don't know, first grade, whatever it was. And I have to say this because it's very important for me, and whatever I say, it's just me, my opinion. I think I was born with fear, period. Who cares why? It doesn't matter. Growing up, I had fear of everything my entire life. I don't care if it was success, or failure. It didn't matter. I was afraid of everything. I was the youngest of four. I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up on a farm. Again, I was always my dad was a farmer. I was afraid I wasn't going to get enough to eat. I mean, you know, farmers work hard, and I had two older brothers, and I was the youngest. So whether I was hungry or not, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. I would come home from school and I would have a large snack before dinner. the large snack was a sandwich and something else. And was I hungry at dinner? Absolutely not. I wasn't hungry, but I ate anyway. I didn't know really what hunger felt like. I mean, physical hunger. Okay. So, I grew up, I was kind of popular in school. I had boyfriends. I was homecoming representative. I was in a good clique in school. I was chunky. I was not obese. Okay. But I was always, always, always aware of what I looked like. Always. And I felt, I was chunky. I felt in my head like I was obese. And I hated myself. Even though I was popular and did stuff and blah, 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 didn't matter. Internally, I felt like crap, okay? Which equates to no self-worth and no self-esteem. So that went on. I mean, I got through school. I went to college 1 year and I wanted to go to New York to become a star. Not LA, sorry. Hollywood, not Hollywood. Stop it, Lillian. I wanted to become a star. I wanted to become a star because I had a beautiful, may she rest in peace, my Aunt Bess, who was kind of a star in the community where she lived in Milwaukee. She was an actress in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I emulated that woman. I worshiped the ground she walked on. So I wanted to go to New York and become a star. So I did. My mother let me go. I was in every play in college, by the way. College was okay. My eating was okay. My life wasn't unmanageable by eating. It wasn't. I kept it intact, whatever. But this is a progressive disease, spiritual, emotional, and physical. So I went to New York and I went to drama school and I got a job as a waitress because that's what you do. So you can have a flexible schedule for all your stuff. That's when my disease really decided to break loose and fancy free. I could eat anything I wanted at the restaurant. Steak and brew. Oh God, I am so dating Mike. John, did you know that? Oh my God, someone knew Steak and Brew. It was a fabulous restaurant. And they brought pitchers of beer to the table. I don't drink beer. I hate beer. But a salad bar that was the size of California. Okay. So it was wonderful. But anyway, good memories. Well, sort of good memories. But I lied. I would lie to my darling manager so I could get out early, so I could go to a certain bakery on the upper east side, Italian bakery. It was an Italian bakery. Oh my God. Anyway, but I was getting heavier. I was, and my life was becoming very, 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 very unmanageable. And if you think I hated myself as a kid growing up on the farm, it really got worse, if that's humanly possible, but it did. I was watching TV one night. I heard this panel talking about a program. And again, this is 49 years ago or 50 years ago. Anyway, mentioning Overeaters Anonymous. Okay, did I relate to any one word they said? Absolutely not. I did not. But I thought, what the heck? I might as well try it. I didn't use the word binge. I did not use the word binge. I overate. And was my life unmanageable? Well, not really. I mean, I was functioning. I was going to school, drama school. I was working. I was auditioning here and there, but nothing happened because So I started going to meetings and didn't get it. I was talking the talk. I wasn't walking the walk. At all. Or is it reverse? I'm not sure. I was walking the walk, whatever, but that's the phrase, talking the talk, but I wasn't walking the walk. I was binging. I would have a month. I would binge. I got 3 months. I would binge. I got fired from sponsors right and left because I wasn't working the program. I wasn't working the steps. I wasn't surrendering that I had a threefold disease. spiritual, emotional, and physical, and my life became unmanageable. Didn't do that for the first year. After a year, ding, 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 something, I became sick and tired of being sick and tired. I couldn't stand one more second of feeling like crap and hating myself and not experiencing anything, because all I could think about was breakfast, lunch, and then starting to binge. So there really wasn't any dinner. I mean, it was not pretty. It was not pretty. I knew fabulous restaurants in Manhattan to get, you know, the big chicken and the big vegetable. And then, I mean, I'm not that person today. So anyway, I'll get to that. So I started to get abstinent one day at a time, sometimes 1 hour at a time. And if I started to feel like I wanted to eat, I reached for the phone. I reached for literature. I kept journals. Oh, back then I had more journals than I could remember. I'm more lazy now. I don't journal like I used to, but they were fabulous journals. Pages and pages and pages. Instead of eating, I learned how to do something else via Overeaters Anonymous than turn to the food. I didn't do that. For 7 years, we don't have food plans anymore. They had, in those days, it was called gray sheet. They had gray sheet, orange sheet. They got rid of that. But it was a structure, the way to eat. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, weighed and measured, nothing in between. And I did it. I did that for 7 years. And my sponsor at the time, a fabulous lady who I wish I could find her, but I'm not on any social media, so I have no idea how to find her. A tiny, tiny little lady said, "Bobby, I think maybe if you'd like to try it, you could add a piece of toast. You could add, you know, a little something carb and see how you feel." So I did. And it was fine. Because what had happened was, through the gift of a higher power, whom I choose to call God, I didn't have the desire to sabotage myself, to hate myself by binging. I didn't have that desire to do that one day at a time. I don't want to say forever, because to me, this program is a 24-hour program. It's one day at a time. So fast forward to now, because now is really much better to talk about. I'm not the same person I was 50 years ago. First of all, I'm a hell of a lot older. So older, wiser, maturity, there you go. Okay. And because that's what I'm telling myself, as someone in this room knows, I have a big birthday next April. I'm looking right at her. And we'll see what my topic is later. I'm living life today. I'm living it. I'm experiencing it. I have grown up most of the time. I mean, I don't do this perfectly. I absolutely do not. But I do abstain from compulsive overeating very well, very well. I eat anything in moderation. There are no restrictions, because I used to binge on everything, not just sugar, not just pasta, protein, vegetables. You know the food categories, everything. And through God's grace, as it says in the big book, neutrality with food, I have no desire to hate myself, to feel like I'd rather die than not be abstinent. And nothing, by the way, in my personal opinion, again, just my opinion, nothing tastes as good as abstinence feels to me. I love being abstinent. That, by the way, is a gift from a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. I used to weigh and measure. I went to Howe for a couple of weeks. I was going to kill myself because it was horrific. Excuse me. Sorry. It was very rigid. I'm not rigid. Not anymore. I was rigid for those first 7 years. One string bean, if it was freaking over the, and I would pack it in so hard because I had to get in as much string beans and salad as I possibly could. Oh boy, I can't believe I'm remembering all these memories. The point is, that is not who I am today. I look in the mirror, you know, my hair came out well. I have self-esteem. I have self-worth. If I have fear, which I do, sometimes new things, or I'm geographically challenged, if I have to go from here, I don't know, to the valley or something, I can get so nervous. But with GPS and MapQuest, guess what? I walk through it. I feel the fear. I'm constantly in a conscious contact with my higher power. I am praying all day long, and I ask for help to get me through, to know that God is in charge and I am not. I'm not. I take action. I do what I'm told in this magnificent, beautiful recovery program. And I show up. I show up every day for my life, every single day, with clarity, sanity, freedom, self-worth, self-love, self-esteem, as best I can. And I like it. I like it. I used to say years ago, and that just popped into my head, it was life or death for me back then, because I have no desire to compulsively overeat today, absolutely zero. But it was life or death. That's how important it was to me, to have clarity, to have sanity, to have peace of mind. And I could think about something else going on in my life besides breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's there. And by the way, I'm going to say this publicly because I'm a senior citizen and I get to say this now that I'm older. Okay.
5 minutes, Bobby.
Thank you, John. I don't eat 3 meals a day. Okay. Newsflash. I only eat 2 because when I get up in the morning, I have a routine. I do my prayer. I do my meditation. My meditation is going walking as I'm looking at my beautiful girl. And I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry because for 7 years, whether I was hungry or not, it was breakfast, lunch, dinner initially. I can have breakfast. Okay, fine. 49 years later, I'm not interested in breakfast. I'm interested in getting myself together, going to another. I'm in another program. I go to a 7:35 meeting several times a week, and then I do my walking, and then I do my meditation as I go walking, and I feel fabulous. And I don't have my first meal until, 12, sometimes later. I'm not hungry. I don't know. As you get older, I asked my doctor, I'm not as hungry as I used to be, physically hungry. Spiritually and emotionally, I'm filled up with program. I'm filled up with a conscious contact with a higher power to the best of my ability. Again, none of this is perfect, and it's beautiful. I'm married. Let's see, how do I say this? My husband can drive me nuts. And someone in this room hears me share about that. Because the only person I have control over is myself and my actions and my attitudes and my responses. Not him, okay? And one time I thought to myself, thank you, God, that I have no desire to turn back to the food because, no. That's suicide. I don't want to do it because he doesn't do what I want him to do. Okay. He just doesn't, but it's okay because I'm in another magnificent program. And one day at a time, I let my husband be who he is, or it doesn't have to be my husband. It can be a friend. It can be anybody. All I know is I'm responsible for myself, the actions that I take, the way I want to live my life today. I have a choice. I have a choice every single day. And today I choose to be free, happy, joyous, and free. And it's absolutely only because of 12 steps, only because I have a conscious contact with a higher power, that I need that conscious contact with this power greater than myself. I don't feel alone. I don't feel afraid. And the man or the job isn't going to make me feel love for myself. It's got to come from within. And that's what this program has taught me one day at a time. I gotta say, I feel extremely blessed, extremely blessed. I'm grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater. I went to an event Friday night, and this woman was talking and saying something. I never met her before in my life, and somehow the conversation came out, and she goes, "Oh, I used to binge." She was this big. She was tiny, tiny, this big. And I said, "Really?" And I said, "Oh, no, I understand that." And she said, "Yeah, I used to go to Overeaters Anonymous." And I said, "Really?" I said, "That's where I go. And that's where I have learned how to live one day at a time." She doesn't go anymore. It doesn't matter. I don't think I'll ever see her anymore. It doesn't matter. I know that I will keep coming to Overeaters Anonymous one day at a time. Hello, Morley. For the rest of my life. The rest of my life. If I go on vacations, I work on the food and beverage team at a volunteer event in Colorado, working with disabled veterans. And I thought it was kind of interesting when I started doing it like 8 years ago, that how ironic, I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm dealing with food, serving all vets 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Bobby.
Thank you, God. Thank you, John. Thank you, God, a lot. So all I'm going to say, wrap up and say, I'm extremely grateful for being a recovering compulsive overeater. And one day at a time, I will keep coming back for the rest of my life. Thank you.